This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoopstand with the one and only Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. We are live. It is Saturday, April the 10th, 2021. It is approximately 8 minutes after the hour. Walter, how are we doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, man. Spring is sprung. I don't know what it's doing up by you, but we had some heavy thunderstorms and heavy, what do you call hail? A little further south than I am here in Chattanooga, a little further south, but even delayed the Masters over at Augusta, Georgia today, all that rain and hail and stuff. So, but otherwise, you know, things are looking up, things are doing good.
Outstanding. Well, it's been overcast all day today, and supposedly we'll have some rain coming up this weekend, or further later this weekend. But anyways, like always, first order of business, we want to remember those members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, we first want to remember Deputy Sheriff Christopher Wilson Knight of the Bibb County, Georgia Sheriff's Office. End of watch, Tuesday, April 6, 2021. He was stabbed to death by an inmate at the Bibb County Law Enforcement Center about 2:45 in the a.m., his killer obviously is in custody and fortunately alive. Also, we want to remember Sergeant James Smith of the Iowa State Patrol in Iowa. End of watch, Friday, April 9th, 2021. Sergeant Smith was shot and killed by attempting to arrest a subject who had assaulted and disarmed another member of law enforcement during a traffic stop near the Grundy Center. So anyways, his killer was shot and wounded, is unfortunately still alive and in custody. Anyways, well, the big news for this week is the show trial of the Derek Chauvin of the Minneapolis Police Department. Now, if you watch CNN, if you watch MSNBC, they already tried, convicted, and we're just waiting for execution. Well, what's your take on the Derek Chauvin situation? Because I know you've been following a little bit closer than I have.
Well, we went through day 10 yesterday. The first 5 days were with the first responders that got there. You know, it was the fire chief, the chief of police, you know, the EMTs, the nurses, you know, which the judge warned and admonished one of the female EMTs, which I thought was quite appropriate. This past week has been the experts. They had a pulmonary specialist. I think they hired him. This is his first trial that he's ever testified. He was a little bit, you know, wet behind the ears, a little bit weak. He speaks with a Swedish accent, which leads me to believe that he was handpicked to have this accent. It sounded a little bit like Mr. Tudball from the Cal Burnett Show. then they had... Then they had the forensic pathologist, and they had the doctor who did the autopsy, and you know they all come to the same conclusion under direct, which is questions by the prosecutor, because it's the prosecution witnesses, they feel that George Floyd died as a result of former police officer Chauvin's actions. However, when they're crossed with the defense attorney, Eric Nelson, who I think is doing, I would have to say it's a sleeper case, and I'll explain that in a little bit. When these people are being questioned by the defense, they're not as sure that Chauvin's actions are the only contributing factor to this guy's death. The prosecution is staying away from the drug use, and the defense is constantly bringing it in. Fact remains, George Floyd Taylor was under the influence of methamphetamine, and they found a pill in the back seat on the floorboards of the car with his DNA on it. So he was cheeking stuff, and apparently he spit it out, you know. So what a lot of people don't realize is that if he had that methamphetamine in his mouth, it's like when you drink alcohol. The inside of your mouth, before you even swallow it, gets absorbed by the inside of your mouth, the inside of your cheeks, your tongue, the roof of your mouth. Substances get absorbed through that. They don't fly into your stomach and then go everywhere. I mean, it's absorbed constantly. Even on the way down your esophagus, it's being absorbed. Anyway, the testimony is back and forth. I read things, you know, I listen to some of I'm watching it through Headline News Network. Okay. And, for some reason I like Headline News when they do a trial, and basically all the commentary is the same. When the trial started, it was 3 for acquittal and 2 for guilty. Now it's 3 for guilty and 2 for acquittal. Based on the evidence that I've heard so far, it's still a toss up. And the prosecution has hardly gotten started yet. There's more to come from the prosecution, probably through the end of next week. And then the defense has a chance. I'm going to go back to what OJ said after he was acquitted and did his first interview. It's like, you know, other people are saying that, oh, it looks bad. That's a bad thing. The defense didn't do anything. And, you know, I'm going to say what OJ said about his own trial. Well, what the hell are these people watching? You know, I don't understand their interpretation of what's going on. I'm trying to be very impartial, even though Chauvin was a police officer. I'm really trying to be impartial. And I'm pretty impartial on most of the trials. Zimmerman, Casey Anthony, Blake, Robert Blake. I try to be impartial. And I think I'm being pretty good impartiality here on this trial. The defense is going to have some fun with their own witnesses to directly include the drug abuse, the enlarged heart, the damaged lungs from COVID into this trial. And it should be. And if this guy gets, if Chauvin gets acquitted, Minneapolis, that's probably why they haven't rebuilt it, because it's just going to burn down again. It's not murder we're talking about here, because murder is a premeditated act. People are saying he needs first-degree murder and go away without parole. So we'll do a little bit more after this break. Take us out, Scoop.
All right. Well, coming up, we'll talk about more of the Chauvin trial. Also, mass shooters of colors. Does not want to talk about that. Also, it's a very special show. We are at 3 years and running.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back, obviously. Follow us at 75radio.org. That's 75radio.org. Continue your thoughts on the Derek Chauvin trial.
All right. You know, there's more and more video being played in court. The prosecution is playing the videos like a news channel, where they only show just what they want the jury to see. But the defense, of course, can't introduce more video. But what's being shown shows that George Floyd was in the back of the police vehicle, cuffed. Apparently he's yelling out, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." Okay. And somewhere in that area is when, well, we don't see him spit that pill out, methamphetamine in pill form out, but they get him out of the back of the car and he's saying, "Thank you, I feel better. I took too many drugs." And then they put him on the pavement where he started to thrash a little bit. Okay, a little bit. And that's when Chauvin, you know, had his knee, on his shoulder, left shoulder, and between the shoulder blades and on the back of the neck. And then, you know, and then he started saying, "I can't breathe again. I can't breathe again. I can't breathe. I can't breathe." Now, he was already saying that in the back of the car. Now, an experienced officer should not take each and every incident as the same, but do with what you're familiar with. Now, I remember way back in the day, and if you watch any real cop shows, you know, like Live PD or Cops, a perpetrator will do anything, say anything, make any motion, calling for his mom, which is what George Floyd did, to take the concentration and focus off of him by the police officers to either try to escape or to get somebody else involved to come and help him. Now, the crowd was helping gas this up a little bit. They will call in the police officers pussies and, you know, do that to me and I'll slap the crap out of you, you know, that kind of thing. They were throwing F-bombs at the police. They were throwing F-bombs at the police and such. And, you know, a lot of these so-called experts on the news channels were saying, that's not violent. That, you know, the police officers didn't have anything to worry about. Well, listen, I would like to put these people in front of a crowd like that that's angry at you because of what you are, not necessarily what you're doing, what you are, and see how safe you feel, you know, regardless if you got a gun on you. See how safe you feel, because you can only shoot one at a time. And if there's 200 people out there, there's going to be an issue.
Right.
I believe Officer Chauvin acted appropriately by getting this guy out of the car because he said he couldn't breathe. But, you know, mitigating factors, some of these lawyers are saying, yeah, they got that out. Yeah, he had some drugs in him, but it wasn't enough. Or he was tolerant of the amount of drugs that they found in his system. And they're saying that, like, this is okay. You know, it's not okay. Anybody else that dies from any kind of drug overdose or induced homicide from drugs that were bought, they go after the person that sold them to them. And they have George Floyd's girlfriend, you know, knowing who they sold, who bought the drugs from. So, you know, there's so much going on that people aren't aware of. They're just hearing that Chauvin is a cop, he killed somebody, and he's got to go to prison. And that's what's wrong with a lot of America today is they watch too much fake TV about trials and such like that, or they have their own conception of what a trial should be. Or what justice should be. You know, they want justice, you know, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. Well, you know, if the guy's acquitted, you know, people, that's justice. You know, you may not like it, but that's justice. And then they burn the city down. But the trial is not even halfway through the prosecution side. You know, you got to be patient when it comes to the wheels of justice because they move very, very slow. You know, you have to ask questions that aren't leading. And as soon as they hear a partial answer, you know, people are getting all wet behind the ears that they love. Oh, that's perfect answer. But it's not the entire answer to the question. You know, he had an enlarged heart. He had COVID. So his lungs were damaged. And plus the drugs. Now, you know, last year, 2020, what is it? 500,000 people died from COVID last year, no matter what happened to them. And, you know, George Floyd is the only one from last year that didn't die from COVID. It's just unbelievable. You know, if you had a heart attack and you had COVID, well, COVID killed you. You know, if you had COVID and you got shot, well, COVID killed you. George Floyd, the cop killed him. So, you know, it's a mixed reaction, and it's always going to be a mixed reaction. White cop, black perp, black cop, white perp. It's going to be, and I said a long time ago, this is going to be a sticky case. I said it. You remember me saying it because that's what I said. It's going to be sticky. At this point, people are asking me on Facebook and Twitter and stuff for my opinion. Right now, as I see it, it's a hung jury. Right now, as I see it, it's a hung jury with what's been presented, you know, thus far.
Right.
And I think it would be a hung jury, not, you know, 11-1, you know, one way or the other. It's going to be like, I would say it's 5-7 or 8-4. One way or the other. It's not going to be just one holdout. The drug thing is a big issue these days. You know, cops against the public and the public against the cops is a big issue these days. You know, would George Floyd have died in the back of the radio car had they not taken him out? We don't know. Would he have died if Chauvin didn't have his knee in his back area? Now I'm going to say back area, because there's so many places his knee was, it wasn't the 9 minutes and 29 seconds that he was leaning on him. You know, it was broken up where George Floyd could breathe. And the last thing I want to bring up is when George Floyd was on the ground, he was squirming. You know, the prosecution medical witnesses are saying that he was trying to roll on his left side and raise his right arm up so he'd get some air in his lung. But then they said that he had abrasions on the left side of his face and his left shoulder. Okay. Now, they said that it was from being pinned. I don't think you get abrasions from being pinned. If you can't move, you're not going to get an abrasion. You might get a bruise, but there was actual scrapes. So George Floyd was squirming around, and I think that, you know, the officer had in his mind of, you know, control. And people were asking, well, why did he have his hand in his pocket? Well, that's what, you know, if Chauvin takes the stand, and I think he will, that's going to be explained. Why did you have your hand in his pocket? In his own pocket. I think it was just, I'm in control, I'm nonchalant, I'm cool, you know, don't come near us. So,
right. Wow.
It's moving
that
along.
That is, right. That was Walter Yerkew, and he approved that monologue. Anyways, coming up, we'll be talking about serial killers in color. Also, Jefferson Airlines. And also a very special birthday featuring 75 Radio. Stay tuned, everybody.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A Los Angeles mother is in custody after her three young children were found stabbed to death in a San Fernando Valley apartment. Liliana Carrillo was arrested about 200 miles away after a chase with police where she allegedly carjacked a pickup truck. The children were found Saturday morning by their grandmother. They were ages 3, 2, and 6 months. Buckingham Palace announced Saturday that the funeral for Britain's Prince Philip will be held on April 17th. The Duke of Edinburgh passed away on Friday at the age of 99 and will receive a ceremonial royal funeral that will be limited to 30 guests due to COVID restrictions. And Ramsey Clark, Attorney General under President Lyndon Johnson, has died. Clark served as AG from 1967 to 68 and was just 39 years old when he was appointed, making him the second youngest to ever hold the position. Clark was 93. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyroot for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals. Bail out broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyroot Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
The Supreme Court has ruled that California cannot enforce its COVID-19 rules that limits only 3 households to gather for worship in a residence. Wendy King reports.
The 5-4 ruling overturns the U.S. Court of Appeals of the Ninth Circuit, which denied motion to prohibit enforcement of restrictions on such gatherings. They called the lower court's decision erroneous. Pastors Jeremy Wong and Karen Bush had argued the restrictions violated their right to free exercise of religion, and business owners had argued that California Governor Gavin Newsom's restrictions violated their First Amendment rights to freedom of speech and assembly. In February, the Supreme Court also ordered California to allow indoor church services in Tier 1 counties, which are those having more than 7 daily new cases of the virus per 100,000 people. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
Yep, and we are back. Peter Scoopstan with Walter Yerke. Once again, we are at 75radio.org. But anyways, Walter, did you know this week in Frederick, Maryland, which is just not too far up the road from yours truly, there is an active shooter situation. A active duty U.S. Navy hospital corpsman or sailor shot two people in Frederick, and then the gunman, he was shot and killed. Anyways, I'm not even going to say the guy's name, but put it this way, he's not Irish or Ukrainian. And yet, even though he's active duty military, the media does not put up the man's picture. And then in South Carolina this week, you had a former football player named Philip Adams shot and killed now six people. It was really five. One victim died. He killing all six people in South Carolina. Now, if you go online or look in the news, you might see a picture of this piece of human debris playing football. You won't see him, you know, after football or, you know, as a regular civilian, but just sort of like a hero. And then in Texas this week, we had somebody open fire at his place of employment. And, of course, his picture is all over the news. And guess what? He's a white guy. He did injure one member of the Texas Department of Public Safety. But anyways, a murder is a murder is a murder is a murder. I mean, why is it that this guy in Texas kills one and his picture is all over the place? A member of the United States Navy shoots people. We don't see his picture. And then this piece of trash that shoots kills six people. We only see a few pictures of him in his glory days playing football. Why is that, sir?
It's the culture that we live in. It's just trying to make a certain set of people look bad, because the other certain set of people feel that they've been made to look bad for 400 freaking years. And it's unfortunate, you know, when you got to divide a nation based on the perception of not showing what race the person is that went on a shooting spree and killed a bunch of people. Same thing with the very dark white man that assaulted the Asians last week or two. And I say very dark white man, which I mean is the guy's African American. They want us to be, you know, more black. And well, the only way to describe me is a very white black man. That's the only way you can describe me. It's just people are feeding into this nonsense. As far as the football player, shooting these people up and then, you know, killing them himself. I think he should have started with himself. And which is unfortunate because, you know, we denounce suicide, but I don't believe there's got to be another term for it. And maybe we have to invent one. Because Chris Benoit did the same thing the wrestler to his family, 10, 12 years ago. You know, he just went, you know, nuts, killed his family and killed himself. It's hard to claim that as a suicide. People are saying, well, Donald Trump didn't have this many shootings during his tenure. You know, it's got nothing to do with nothing or whoever's in the damn White House, for God's sake. You know, there was plenty. You know, people forget Parkland, you know, the school on Valentine's Day 3-4 years ago. You know, people just associating bad things with a bad president, or good things with a good president, or a bad thing with a good president, and vice versa. What I make out, not showing these people's faces, they shouldn't show anybody's face because it's glorifying the crime. Because the next banana that wants to do it, he's going to know when he eats his gun that he's going to be on the news and his face is going to be, you know, especially if he's white, you know?
Right.
So it's glorifying when you put people's pictures. I've been against it for as far back as I can remember. But this is, it's no more selling newspapers. Now it's ratings. Remember, you know, everybody was trying to get the scoop, so to speak, pardon the pun, but get the scoop on for a newspaper to sell, you know, 50,000 more newspapers than they did yesterday.
Right.
Also, ratings.
Right. It's also clicks on the internet because I'm looking at the New York Post, and also we want to remember Deputy Inspector Dennis Mullaney of the 100 South Precinct in Queens who killed himself. There's a picture of him in, you know, that they post in front of the American flag and the city flag once you get hired, once you get promoted, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, you know, we have, unfortunately, go ahead.
Hold that thought. I'm looking at something that's just coming over the teletype, and it's only about an hour old. A former Iowa sheriff candidate is accused of murdering a police sergeant following a tense standoff. An Iowa Department of Public Safety officer was shot and killed by Michael Lang, a former candidate for the county sheriff. Sergeant Jim Smith was killed during a standoff at Lang's home on Friday following the previous altercation. Lang was stopped for a traffic violation Friday evening before assaulting the police officer by removing his firearm and stun gun and placing the officer in a chokehold. Four patrol officers, including Smith, entered the house canine unit before Smith was then shot. Lang barricaded himself in the home, and police officers retreated to the basement while other officers pulled Smith from the house. He yelled at officers about shooting Smith and expressed the desire to shoot more police officers. That's just in. So there's not much other than just initial reports from a police press release. So we'll keep an eye on that too. You know, people, it's got nothing to do with whoever's in the White House. And I'm sure that's what's going to be said tomorrow about this thing in Iowa. So, you know, it happens anywhere, anytime, any place. And they show the picture of the sergeant that was murdered. But yeah, nothing about the race of the shooter. So anyway, I just needed to get that in because we try to report the news, especially when it's new and we get it fresh. So
right, exactly. But anyways, back to shooters that whose picture we see or don't see. It's obvious the American people are not dumb, contrary to what the media thinks, because they think if you don't live near the island of Manhattan or near the Beltway in D.C. or the state of California, you just live in you're just some dumb hick who lives in flyover country. But you know, if they say a person shoots and kills two people in a, you know, somewhere, and they don't show any pictures of the shooter, more likely than not, it's a person of color. I mean, we're getting sick of it. That's why CNN ratings is in the toilet. MSNBC's ratings in the toilet, and they don't care because they're supported by corporate media. MSNBC is owned by Comcast Universal, so your cable bill is paying for MSNBC, and then those AT&T owns Time Warner, so those who have AT&T cellular service, you're subsidizing CNN on the air. But you know, it is what it is. I mean, we know, and is it going to happen? Yes. Now, do everybody we mentioned should they, if they're not already in the ground, should they be in the ground as soon as possible? Yes. Should they be given the option of suicide before trial? Personally, yes. But unfortunately, our Constitution prevents that. So we'll keep an eye on things. But anyways, well, moving right along.
I got one more little tidbit before the next break or before you get. I was watching the Masters today, you know, down there in Augusta, and here there's a news flash that Masters golfer and competitor Billy Horschel takes a tumble near the green and stains his white pants, but they didn't say if he got green on his pants. All right. Let's get back to me.
All right. Well, you follow that story. But anyways, real quick, United Airlines. I've always hated United Airlines. They treat their customers like garbage. They treat their employees like garbage. That's why they're always going on strike, the employees of United. They bought Continental Airlines, which is one of the best airlines ever, and merged it to United. Now it's all garbage. But anyways, and then within the next decade, they are going to hire 2,500 pilots who are going to be female or people of color. But anyways, when we get back, we'll finish about United Airlines and our birthday celebration. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Okay, United Airlines, they stink. We all know that they stink. But anyways, they want to be part of the woke crowd, so they're, the next decade, they're going to hire 5,000 pilots. Half of those are going to be women or people of color. Now, their idea is that, well, the people that fly these planes are just too white, so we're going to prioritize hire women or people with color. Now, most people that fly commercial airlines are former military pilots who have done a ton of classwork. I mean, ridiculous amounts of classwork, and they need to be very good in math. You can be the next Tom Cruise or whatever, but if you stink in math, guess what? You're not going to be flying. I took the entrance exam for the Navy. It's called the OAR. Don't ask me what it stands for, but it's something to do with the flying and how good you are with math and if you know have the basics to fly. And I bombed it. But anyways, being a pilot is not driving a bus. Just ask Sully Sullenberger, who safely landed a plane on the Hudson River. But you're going to have multi-million dollar aircraft with hundreds of people aboard, thousands of pounds of fuel, flying 600 plus miles an hour over major cities. And let me tell you something, these airports, JFK, Dulles, Hartsfield-Jackson, O'Hare, they get crowded. So, I mean, you're putting your life in your hands. I mean, most people don't care what the color of the pilot is. They want to know, they want to make sure that he's sober and he's competent. Let's say you about flying real quick before we move on to our celebration.
You know, again, you know, I'm not saying that these people aren't going to be qualified or they are going to be qualified. I hope that they weed out and pick and choose and train qualified people. Not just, you know, get them through because of, you know, their sex or their color and their color and sex. Because, shoot, I like to fly. And I don't want to be in a freaking plane where somebody's there just because of that's what we were hiring this week. You know, I brought this up many, many months ago, maybe more than a year ago. You know, the New York City sergeant's exam was a freaking joke. They needed more minority sergeants, so they put in a curve. I hope the FAA does not allow a curve when it comes to being a freaking pilot, you know, on a 787. That would be, you know, murdering 450 people if it goes down. So, you know, I don't believe in hiring because you need a quota. You know, if my company is all black, that means I hire all black people that were qualified, whether they were equal to or more qualified than a person of another race. It's not because I have a preference. You know, if I have 50-50 and one Asian, man, that's who I hired because that's who passed my test and that's who can do my job. This is just getting ridiculous. You know, they're letting people in across the border just because they're walking on 2 feet. Now they're putting people in the air behind a control panel because of the color they are or the virtue of their sex. I'm not saying a man is better in every aspect because I'm sure there's some pilots that don't need to be built, that don't need to be flying in the air right now. I've just been lucky on my couple of hundred of flights that I haven't gone down. But I think it's just watering. You know, it's watering the selection pool down, and you know you're not going to get you know top rated pilots unless the FAA is really good about it.
Right. But anyways, we'll see when they start dropping these birds start dropping from the sky. But Walter, we made it through another year. This is the start of a third year, or we did 3 years at 7-5 Radio. And I can't believe it. I mean, COVID, distance learning, injury, sickness, CPAC moved down to Florida, election was stolen, work, shutdowns, lockdowns, curfews, giving cancel, communication problems, other personal issues. And we're still here, and there's nothing else I'd rather do. I actually love coming on Saturday nights or Thursday when we used to tape. Love coming out with you, and it's just been a blast. And then from our first show, April 7th, we played the wrong bumpers, wrong intros, and it was rough. It was our very first time, but I mean, we improved by leaps and bounds, obviously. And anyways, it's a learning curve, and we still have other things we want to do, and we're going to get there. But again, we do have lives and families and things we need to take care of, but we love doing this, and we put, you know, 100% into this. But
last year, a couple of major points. We did the political roundtable with Sam, James, Eddie, Sean, Jim Lance, a whole host of other people. Little Mikey Guerin was going to join us, but he's got a work obligation. That poor man just never stops hustling. We were on the air when Virginia got stolen. I was at GOP and DNC headquarters during the show, and it was a great night. I was at the memorial for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, using the stars and bars as a Confederate flag. We also had Joe Lazzito on, who was just a phenomenal guest. Sam Bushman loved him so much, he booked him on a couple days later. Also, the Four Horsemen show, well, me, you, Mike, and Jim Lance, yeah, it was a milestone because it was a great show, and we didn't talk over each other or try to one-up one another. Because all these other shows you hear on the radio, they just try to grab airtime, but guess what? We're professionals. We know what to do, and, you know, we give everybody a turn. I want to thank everybody, including God himself, Sam Bushman for putting up with us, Jim Edwards for doing the bumpers, Mikey Guerin for working his ass off. Also, we got to remember Jeff Jackson. Hopefully, he's going to have another successful season. Everybody at Tapas Outlaw, everybody at I-75. I mean, let's go on and on and on. Walt, what do you got for 3 years together?
Bupkis.
I'm
good with being on air for 3 years. You know, I say this last year and the year before, man, you know, the opportunity that I was given by you and the rest of the crew, you know, that includes, you know, Sam Bushman and the rest of the guys over at the political cesspool and such. We're in contact, you know, you and I are in contact during the week to see what we're going to do. And usually an hour before we go on air. And, you know, I listen to the cesspool. You know, I've just enjoyed the last 3 years, and I hope we keep going.
Right. And, God willing, we keep on going. I'm working this other outfit. Remain nameless until they honor their end of the bargain. But we'll talk about that later. But, I mean, it's been a great 3 years, and we have nowhere to go but up, and I really look forward to it. I mean, one of the reasons why we do this is for you, the listener. I mean, we know you are out there. I mean, but for whatever reason, you don't want to use social media, or we get kicked off of social media. I'm off of social media, but I got this follow guy, Larry Lefty. He's out there. What's your Twitter handle? For now,
it's simple. It's Walt, your Q,
10873. Okay, but yeah, we know you're out there. Some of us contact us, but please feel free to contact us. If you hate us, let us know, because we'll put you up front and center. But you, the listener, what makes this country great? You make this country move. You're the ones out there working your ass off. You're the ones that's raising the BS flag from the mainstream media, and you're the ones turning off the sports and the entertainment and the Kardashians and all this other stuff. But, you bring our fight to your corner of the world. This show is a little bit different than others because we don't just sit here and say Democrats bad, Republicans good, and this and the other thing. We say both of them suck, number one. Also, there's nothing, what we say we also do. I was out there on Constitution Avenue with the trucker protest. I've been to CPAC, as a credential members of the media and not. And I met some wonderful people at CPAC, and not so wonderful people at CPAC. I meet you going out and about in D.C. I mean, in like last week, I went to an undisclosed location and met some wonderful people there. But you're out there, and please keep spreading the word. Not just listen to 75 Radio. Tell these people, all these politicians are corrupt. Cops lives matter. Who are you gonna call? Black Lives Matter? when somebody's breaking your house, speaking of which, one of the broads that started Lives Matter bought a million-dollar home out in California. But anyway, Walt, another great show in the can. So stay tuned, everybody, for the next episode of 75 Radio. Follow 75radio.org. For Walter Yerkew, this is Peter Scoop Stanton telling everybody you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week.
Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.